Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Physically this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. The next day, as they were traveling and nearing the city, Peter went up to pray on the housetop about noon. Then he became hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were preparing something, he went into a visionary state. He saw heaven opened and an object that resembled a large sheet coming down, being lowered by its four corners to the earth. In it were all the four-footed animals and reptiles of the earth, and the birds of the sky. Then the voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "No, Lord," Peter said, "for I have never eaten anything common and ritually unclean." Again, a second time, the voice said to him, "What God has made clean, you must not call common." This happened three times. Then the object was taken up into heaven. Father, thank you this morning again for your word. God, through this study of Acts, the beauty of, Lord, watching under the old covenant, how broken, how desperately separated from you we were, even as Gentiles, most importantly. But God, thank you. As we've progressed through this study of Acts, Lord, we've seen the beauty of the Holy Spirit's coming, the beauty of what Jesus Christ's gift of salvation means to us. Father, today, give us spiritual ears, take the blinders off our eyes, open our hearts to whatever it is today that you want to share, what you want to speak, what we can take home, Lord, and apply to our lives as followers of Christ. Father, may you be glorified, magnified, honored, lifted up above all things. We ask this in the name above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. Amen. You may be seated. What a powerful story, really. I really don't think the magnitude of what was happening here even Peter could recognize. I think he was just kind of blown away by what was happening here. In a sense, the old covenant right here, in other words, symbolically, God showing him, listen, this is over. We are under the new covenant. I have made all things clean. Sit down and eat, you know, and he's like, whoa. Listen to verses 9 through 13 again. Then the next day, as they were traveling, nearing the city, Peter went up to pray on the housetop about noon. He became hungry, wanted to eat. While they were preparing something, he went into a visionary state. He saw heaven opened and an object that resembled a large sheet coming down, being lowered by its four corners to the earth. And it were all the four-footed animals, reptiles of the earth, and the birds of the sky. And a voice said, "Peter, come, kill and eat." Leads to the first thing that I want to share with you this morning. And it is this: faithful commitment to reading and prayer opens our ears and hearts to hear God's voice. Peter's on the roof in prayer. So he's fellowshipping with God, and we've got to remember, they didn't have the Bible in a sense like we had. We have God's Word. We're able to pick it up when you and I, whether you get up in the morning like I do and read every day, or whether you're going through a difficult period and then during the day you pick it up and you go, "God, I just don't know right now what to do. Lord, I just want to get in your word. I want to hear you speak." God's word speaks to everything that we will ever deal with, we have dealt with, we will deal with. God speaks to all of it. Even today with the verses that I share with you out of this, there's someone here that's going to go, "Man, this really speaks to me." Whether you're discouraged about a loved one that's passed away, but then you go to Psalm 23 and go down to the bottom there and read, "Yea, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me." We can literally hear God's promises spoken to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There is no limit or end to our ability to fellowship with God. Now remember, during this period here is the brand new covenant. This is this brand new, we're in a sense, an apostolic area where the apostles, they are new to this new covenant also. And Peter is now up on the roof. He's speaking to God. So he is showing his love and passion. He's up in prayer. And God speaks. It's in a sense, in this picture right here, the spiritual infant. I mean, even really. Think about the apostles, the disciples. They're really spiritual infants. Even if they had been with Jesus' entire ministry, the depth of the one-on-one we see with Peter, James, and John was 3 years. This picture of Peter and his seeking God, remember now, Peter's the same man that had denied Jesus at the crucifixion, remember? All of this is still new, but he is sold out. He realizes that this Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Spiritual infant, or whatever you want to call him, spiritual giant for that matter, he's seeking the Lord. If you want to hear God's voice, you've got to be in his word. You've got to commit to reading. You've got to commit to praying. You can't sit around and go, I just wish God would speak. God, just set a bush on fire like you did for Moses in the Old Testament. God, I'm going to take and lay a fleece out like Gideon because I need you to speak to what I'm dealing with right now and I need clarity. Why would God do that when he's given us his word and we can hear him speak clearly to everything? Why do we need God to do something more than he's already doing and has done? I believe God can do anything. I believe God could set the whole church on fire, let it burn and never consume itself. God can do anything. But we have his word. We don't have any issue with having a doorway into God's presence, boldly being able to come before him because of Jesus being the eternal high priest. Day, night, 24 hours a day, we can go before God's presence. Now remember, when we fail to read his word though, and we want to tell him what we need, and God, I need you to answer this prayer, but we're not getting in his word, we are putting our hand over God's mouth and telling God, we need you to talk now. There's a real issue, amen? We cannot expect God to speak in the midst of our disobedience and our sin and our demonstration of faithlessness. Get in his word. Get in God's word. And if you'll get in his word, if you'll faithfully commit to reading God's word and getting in his presence in prayer, you know what God will do? He'll open your ears and your heart to hear his voice. And it's amazing how he speaks in that still small voice. It's amazing when God opens a door, there is no question that God has opened the door. God is not a God of confusion, but power, love, and of a sound mind. If there's confusion in it, you better wait and allow God to open that door. God will not allow you to be confused if he is opening that door. There will be absolutely no question if God is opening the door that you have been praying and seeking his face over. That's what I'm so thankful about. When God answers, he not only answers, he answers loudly. Amen. Amen? Okay, good. You were making me nervous there. I was getting ready to go, hey, am I the only one here who's heard God speak? And if God isn't opening your doors like that, we need to talk. Because there's got to be a connection issue. I don't have any special ability to talk to the Lord that you don't have. You and I are on the even same exact footing. And that's what I'm so thankful for this morning. And then verse 14, no, Lord, Peter said, for I have never eaten anything common or ritually unclean. Remember, Peter knew what old covenant was. He knew what defiled things were. He knew all the Levitical law. That's a good one. Say that 10 times. He knew what the Levitical law was and what should not be done. And this was a no-no under old covenant. Second thing I'm going to share with you comes out of that verse, and it's this. When God says it, trust and obey. Isn't that amazing that those infantile principles and the little songs we hear growing up in Bible school, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, might seem very infantile, but man, there is a mountain of truth in it, isn't there? Because if we trust God, we're going to obey Him. But there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, because how in the world, through obedience, rebellion, and sin, is the peace of God which surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts in Christ Jesus going to be the essence of our life? It can't be. Because then God would be a liar, because He would bless our sin. And we know God's not going to do that, because God cannot defile His very character, and God can't, as the old saying is, bless a mess. I don't know how many times I've heard in my lifetime, even many years when I growing up young, my dad was pastoring, when people would say, you know, I just, the Bible has so much contradiction in it. Anybody ever heard that? Or anybody ever said it maybe? You know, it's so much contradiction. You know, in the Old Testament, you see the Israelites, and look, they're killing people, and I don't understand it, because, you know, the Ten Commandments say, you know, thou shalt not kill. This is what's interesting. Murder and killing are two different things. We're not supposed to murder someone. What is murder based in? You or I get angry. We decide that that person's done something that we don't like, and we then become the judge, the jury, the executioner of someone because we believed that what we saw merited us taking their life, or I got tired of that, this, that, they did this, whatever it is. Do you realize the biblical killing that was undertaken was not murder? It was to protect the godliness, the holiness, and righteousness from ones who wanted to extinguish godliness, holiness, righteousness. You can see it all through Scripture. Yes, there were times when people did things that they shouldn't have done, and they murdered, and guess what? God was pretty good at dealing with that, wasn't He? Amen? You even think about a man who could have had anybody killed. King David. King David had someone murdered. Wasn't even man enough to do it with his own hands. I'll call it for what it is. All because of his sin. He had a man killed who was completely blameless and innocent. Did God leave it undealt with? Oh no, He didn't. King David paid dearly for his actions. Dearly, not only in his own life, but in the lives of his children. See, God differentiates between truth, righteousness, and see, we may see something as a contradiction, but this is the only problem that we are dealing with, is that we are constrained. We are limited by finite minds. What does that mean? Well, you know, we only use a small percentage. Some people that are really smart use a whole lot more than I do. You have these people that are Mensa level genius that test way up on the IQ scale. They think in a way I can't even begin to. It makes my head hurt to think how they think. Or think about thinking like they would think makes my brain hurt. But we only use a small percentage of our brain. Very small. Wonder why. I wonder if it had to do something with the fall of mankind and inviting sin into the beauty that God had created. I firmly believe so. So therefore, we are finite. We are limited in our ability to use this little weight between our shoulders, counterbalance. So when I see something in the Word that I don't understand, I have finally in my, ready? My limited knowledge come to realize something beautifully. It's not an issue with truth. It's not an issue with God. It's an issue with me. There is no contradiction in God. There's no contradiction in God's Word. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we watch, you want to know the character of God? Look at the cyclical picture of every single week, month, and year. As the sun comes up, the sun goes down. God is a God of order. And I'm thankful for that, and that's really a testimony to the person of God. He does not change. Mankind changes. Governments change. Leaderships change. But he never does. So what I do is I relegate myself in my finite, remembering that I serve an infinite God. An infinite, right, is unlimited God. And I keep myself at the smart place of realizing if there is an issue with a lack of understanding, it's not a God issue. It's a me issue. Just remember, when God says it, trust and obey. And that is the truth, but there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And maybe you struggle with that. I would encourage you to do something. The scripture says you have not because you ask not. So if you have a lack of faith, if you have a lack of understanding God's truth and God's word, and you really truly want to understand it, and you want to be what God wants you to be, and you want to have faith, and you want to rest in that, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask him. God, help me understand what I struggle with. God, help me love like you've called me to and created me to. God, help me understand what my place and my purpose is in your kingdom as a follower of Christ. Lord, I don't want to just remain in faithlessness or battling faithlessness. Lord, I don't want to be a doubting Thomas. Lord, I don't want to be a Peter, denying you when I'm in the presence of my friends. God, I want to stand firm as a testimony of truth and righteousness in a godless surrounding that becomes more hostile to the name of Jesus every day. God, I want to stand as a beacon of hope right now over COVID. 22% is what they're saying. The average church attendance has declined universally, some places much greater than that. The commitment level has well surpassed 80% of people still in churches universally. You think we're not in a tumultuous, a very rough, a very dark period in history? We are. So your prayer could be, God, raise me up as a beacon of hope, Lord, so that my children, if anything else, can see the love of Christ, can see a genuine demonstration of what it means to be a follower of Christ that stands the test of time for this brief moment in history, like a vapor that we are present. I will tell you, there is no shortage of people struggling with this right now, because in school right now, we've been doing our clinical rotations in psych. And I was up here in Murfreesboro this week, and I want to tell you, there's some sad stuff, y'all. My heart broke in all the areas that I was in this week. Sad. Heartbreaking to see the struggles. And listen, you know, there's kind of this picture from the movies that, you know, when you think about, when you say the word psych or you say the word, you know, facility, or put those two together, you all of a sudden go, oh, those are some crazy people. You would actually be quite astounded at how normal people that have struggles are. They're just like you and I. Red and yellow, black and white. All ages. All backgrounds. But I'll tell you what I think one of the greatest catalysts, the things that has led to this really big struggle in our nation with, we have one of the, you know, there's more antidepressants and pain medicines issued in the United States than anywhere in the world. You know this? Huh, that's interesting. Now, wait a minute. We're one of the freest nations, and right, everybody's woke now. Why would we be regressing? Why would we be the most unhappy of nations on the planet? Because wouldn't all of this wokeness as a society, and wouldn't all this, I've got the bull by the horns, it's my life, everybody butt out of it, wouldn't that have led to a greater fulfillment? Shouldn't we all be at a greater level of peace and joy because we have reached this plateau? You would think, wouldn't you? I believe the issue is because in the process, we decided to say, God, you can step out that door. And our school systems right now can't, from childhood, teach them that they are special, they're unique, and God created you as a young man and a young lady, and he has a purpose for you, and you're special. And God is a God that loves you, and he created you himself. And in fellowship with him is a level of peace and hope. And by the way, this isn't the only life. There's life everlasting because Jesus loves you. See, we as a culture have decided that that's offensive and that's discriminatory and that's destructive. No, we need to give them now padded rooms with sensory toys that they put their fingers on the walls. And if they need to beat on the walls, they beat on the walls. You can't tell them there's hope. You can't tell them there's a God that loves them and there's a reason for why they breathe. But we can put them in a room and let them beat themselves half to death with lights on the ceiling that are meant to calm and soothe. We can continue to go down as a culture or even us in our homes and buy into the bunk and buy into this litany, this mass of authors and specialists and psychiatrists and psychologists. We can continue to buy in to all these different theologies and philosophies that completely contradict what God's word says, because remember, that's harmful, they say. And if you do, you will be nothing more than another caution sign in history that says the only truth that works is the only truth that ever has worked and ever will work. Don't fall victim to culture's definition of anything. You follow what truth says, because truth will never change as culture continually does. If you want to offer your children hope, you offer in the only thing that will never change, and that's the God of all creation. And I realize we're in a fallen world. And by the way, I'm one of the very few pastors that doesn't, hey, I think it's important if you have sought out a spiritual issue, you have clinical depression, you have anything for that matter, and you have dealt with that spiritual issue, God, I don't know what's going on. Is this a spiritual issue? No. Go to your doctor. I don't have an issue. If you have a chemical imbalance and you have to take medication, there's nothing any less, you're no less of a person if you have chemical imbalances or you battle clinical depression or whatever it might be. I've heard so many times, you know, I've gone to churches and they said if you battle depression and it wasn't a spiritual issue and you take medicine, then you just don't have enough faith. Well, I want to hear the sermon at the funeral. That's what I want to hear. Because again, we're in a fallen world. Now, do I think medicine's the answer for everything? Absolutely not. Do I think medicine is way overprescribed? I'm the first one, I'll trumpet it from the top of this steeple. Because I think, sadly, so often people go straight to medicine instead of trying to seek out any other issues that could be the catalyst, the issue that has started, lit the fuse, in a sense, for whatever may be going on. I realize that all of us go through periods of being down. Does that mean that you're having a little period of being down? That you should automatically take something? I will say I've had times like that, and no, that's not the first issue. And those were just times that I started to reflect on life and myself. And by the way, it happens a lot when you get close to 50. You start to realize, man, listen, the wheels are coming off this car. The tires are worn out, the brakes are. You got a knock in the motor, transmission slipping. Yeah, whoa, life is really short. And there's times that you have, I don't even call it a midlife crisis, because I don't need a Corvette and to ditch my family, no, thank you. Amen? What God has done is to help us realize that you're not hanging on to this life. Yeah, you're 20 now, but you'll be 40 and 50 before you can snap your fingers together. Amen? Those of you who said amen are like me. You're amen. Because you were back then young and like, man, I got the world by the tail. No. The world's got you by the tail. Because this body we have, this world is passing away. But see, again, God's truth isn't. And I want you to understand this morning, God's word says it, just trust and obey. Because there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Live outside of your comfort zone in the midst of God's plan. Live outside of it. You live in your comfort zone, you'll do nothing consequential ever. And I mean that. Step outside of your comfort zone when God leads you, and don't look back. Don't walk outside of it until God leads you, but when he does, do it. Do it. Be reckless for Christ. Notice my statement, reckless for Christ. Not to be a fool. Stand firm in truth. Stand firm for what matters, because see, that's what transcends, that's what goes beyond the physical life that we live. Legacies are not defined by the passions of our lives. Legacies are defined in those things that endure, that transcend, that go into infamy. And the only truth that will do that is the truth of God's word, his purpose, and his plan for our lives. Again, I've asked this before. You're getting younger, church, and many of the newer people is what I'm saying. Anybody know who founded Woolworths? Feel free to raise your hand if you do. Anybody know who founded U.S. Steel? Anybody know who founded Sears? Ron, I can't believe you didn't shout that out, brother. You don't know? And you worked for him for all those years. There you go. Anybody know who was responsible for building the Twin Towers? Anybody know who's responsible this morning for the U.S. dollar? You see what I'm saying? These are things that affect our lives we all know about. But those people that were instrumental and monumental in their beginning, we don't even know who they are. Do you realize it won't be a few more decades, if even that long? And nobody will know who started Microsoft. Some of you might not even know now, young people. Nobody will remember who was instrumental in Apple Computer, which was about to go into bankruptcy, becoming one of the most profitable companies in history. Anybody know? Steve Jobs. But remember, it won't be that long, and people are going to go, well, I don't know. I'm going to tell you, I don't think there's many ears that you can say the name Billy Graham in, and they can't tell you the impact that Billy Graham's had on lives. You know what the great thing is? They go on into history for many, many, many decades, and there's going to be people that's family's salvation, if not only their own, is going to be directly responsible because of the obedience of Billy Graham and the magnitude of nations and people all over the globe that came to saving faith in Jesus Christ because of Billy Graham's obedience. By the way, the people that prayed, I wish I had the time, I share that story, maybe I can share it next week, of people that prayed in the way that Billy Graham came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You want something monumental? That's the kind of things that go on into history and infamy. Because as I share with you, with Jim Elliot, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Then the third and final thing, verse 15 and 16, again, a second time, the voice says, what God's made clean, you must not call common. This happened three times. Then the object was taken up into heaven. So Peter has been basically laid out this smorgasbord. It's like a low boil, right? Huh, crawfish? Amen. Oh, we don't have many seafood lovers in here. Shrimp. Some good Cajun seasoning on it. No, he had to kill it and cook it. So, but all these things that had been withheld under the old covenant, God was saying, listen, there's no more law that's withholding this from you. It's been made clean under the new covenant in Christ. Well, Peter's like, no, I'm going to be ultra righteous, man. Hey, no, not me. Don't you call clean, unclean, what God has made clean. What a beautiful picture. In a sense, God's Cornelius last week, or week before last, this opening of the door to the Gentiles. Listen, the old order is gone. We're under the new covenant. We're under grace. The door has been sprung open. The Jewish people rejected Christ. Now, come. What are you doing with that invitation today? The beginning of it was right here. And then the third and final thing, here it is. Live in the freedom of God's leading, not the bondage of fear and doubt. Peter was fearing right here that eating this would have, in a sense, begun this destruction because he would have been violating this law. And this was like, no, there's no more law. This is gone. I have made clean. Eat. It's a new covenant. It's grace. It's one of the reasons that staying in God's word and prayer is so important for us, so that we're able to discern God's voice. We're able to see. We're able to dispel the lies of Satan and the fear that he overwhelms us in and tries to get us in bondage. I shared that story about the monkey. They did that research study many decades ago. But they put his bananas in one of them. And the monkey would put its hand through the hole because, you know, it loves bananas, right? So it reaches in there and it grabs it. But then when it came out, it was just big enough for the hand to go in without anything in it. So the monkey continued to stand there and it wouldn't let it go. And it was trapped. They actually were able to catch a lot of monkeys like that too. Because it would not let it go, even in fear. You know how that parallels with us? See, sin. Satan says, oh, look at that. Oh, wow. Oh, the fruit in the garden, right? Starts out, right? Starts out, woo, yeah, woo, what, woo. So often, we won't let go of that sin to get out of bondage. God has to bring us to that place, and sometimes we've been attacked in the trap. But we couldn't see that the very thing that never brought us the fulfillment that it promised, it never brings us that fulfillment. It's only a lie. We can see it, but it never does what its intended purpose should be. But it can't, because as a Christian, God cannot allow us to truly experience fulfillment in sin, because sin is contradictory to everything that is fulfillment, peace, hope, and all of the things as Christians. This morning, is your hand in the trap? Are you sitting there in the trap trying to figure out how you can get that thing that has been placed in front of you that you took hold of? The only way you can do it is by letting it go, because you have everything you need. We have everything we need. Live in that freedom of God's leading. You don't want that doorway you've walked through if it's not God's will, because it will not bring you a blessing. It'll bring you a curse. As a matter of fact, you'll find yourself at the beginning thinking how euphoric, how good you feel, and how wonderful it is. But the more you walk down that road, the more uneasy, the more unfulfilled, the more pain, the more hurt you'll begin to experience. But it's such a slow fade that many times by the time we realize it, we're in so deep, it is a massive undertaking to try to get out of the mess that we're in. If you're in here this morning and you just reached in that jar, just remember, hey, that lie that he has you in, let it go. Pull it out. God, you're all I need. Father, I don't want anything to do with the lies of the enemy. I don't want anything to do with the bondage of what he promises, because I know it's a lie. God, I don't want to walk in that bondage and fear. I don't want to walk in doubt and all of these other things that those doorways will give you, even walking into them, because you know it's not of God, but it's so appealing at times. Run from those things. Let God lead. Let that freedom in God's purpose, in his promise, in his leading be the thing that characterizes your life this morning. This morning, be unclean. The things that bring heartache, the things that bring hurt, the things that bring brokenness. Are you living that? Or are you living in the freedom as a follower of Christ, the freedom that Jesus died to give you? This morning, do you know what it is to be a follower of Christ? Do you know this morning, right now, if you were to breathe your last breath and stand in the presence of God, what would you hear? We know Scripture talks about there's two things that are going to be heard before the Lord one day. One of them is going to be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. And the only other option is this one. Matthew chapter 25, the end of it, you can read it for yourself if you'd like to. Depart from me, you cursed one, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. Thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. Naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. They will say, when? So whatever you did not do unto the least of these, you did not do unto me, and they will go away into everlasting fire, but the righteous to eternal life. That's what the picture of what will happen one day. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I challenge you this morning to step back, do an introspective, an inside look. God, I know it here, but it's never gone here. Salvation is not about knowing. It's about it going from here. And God, when he gets a hold of this, when you confess your sin, place your faith and trust in him, when you give him your life, it's then that it affects this, your walk, your life. I can share this till I'm blue in the face. I get up here and preach all day long, but ultimately, you have to respond. I can't respond for you. What is the gift if you never receive it? A gift can sit on your table all day long and say, well, I got this incredible gift. You know how many people have been extended an incredible gift but never opened it? That is what happens when we know about salvation, when we know about the good news. It's the same as the disciples when Jesus said, come follow me. They get a lawn chair and sit out there with lemonade on the beach and shout for the rest of their lives about how they met Jesus. The only problem is they never followed him. There's a difference in someone who knows about Jesus and a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ rose, went forth, and followed him. That's the difference. What is your life going to be? Ultimately, someone who knew about Christ? Or are you a person today that knows Christ? Because I promise you, if you know him, it changes your life. I want to encourage you this morning, if your answer to that is, I know about him, but I don't know him, don't leave this building this morning without drawing that line in the sand, because this fulfillment I spoke of today, this peace, this joy, and this hope cannot ever be experienced in anything or anyone else. The Bible says there is but one name under heaven by which a man must be saved. And I'm so thankful today that we know truth, that the extension of salvation today is not based on whether you've got things together, whether you've started acting right or this, no. So scripture, come to me, all you who are back to what he said in the beginning, all you who are weary and heavy laden, what I will give you rest. So this morning, do you need that rest? If so, are you in fellowship with the rest giver? If not, I challenge you during this invitation to step back, face down at the foot of the cross to the only one that will ever and can ever do a transformational work. And that is the God of creation that knows you, loves you, and knows right where you're at, but desires you today to walk with him as Adam and did with God in the cool of the evening in the garden. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for the...
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.